Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Well, on this Pastor Appreciation Sunday, I want to thank James for all the kind words today. You know, pastoring here at Calvary is truly one of the greatest joys of our lives. Pastor Susan and I today want to express to all of you our love for your generosity and your kindness today that you've demonstrated towards us and to our pastoral team. And speaking of our pastoral team, I'd like to express my own appreciation to each of them. I love this group that we have, this team. And I'll start with my beautiful wife. Pastor Susan oversees research and creative, works closely with me in the development of our series, all the creative elements that go with that, as well as all the creative elements that that help to frame up what we do here as a church within our vision. She also oversees our partnership with the City Dream Center, with our outreach to the local, our schools, public schools. So she is a huge, huge blessing. Much of what she does happens behind the scenes, and she's just very invested in what God has called us to do here. But I want to say to you, Susan, if you're watching this, it has been an honor and continues to be serving and doing life with you in the church for more than 3 decades. It's crazy, right? And 2 of those decades have been here at Calvary. But I want you to know, I want all of you to know that I could not do what I do without her. She is a massive blessing. So thank you, Susan. Love you. Pastor Vince, let me talk about Vince for a minute. Vince is certainly a one-of-a-kind leader and a true son of Calvary. Vince actually predates me here on staff, for those of you that don't know, and he's currently the longest serving Calvary pastor on my team. He oversees the care and connection of our Calvary members, and he helps to guide them on their discipleship path. And he makes it fun all along the way. Now, to me personally, Vince is much more than just a member of our pastoral team. He's a great and trusted friend. I love him. He and Deb welcomed us with open arms when we came here almost 20 years ago. And they both have been a great blessing to our family. Deb also working behind the scenes sometimes within small groups on our Wednesday nights. She has got such a big heart for the Lord and for our people. We love you guys, truly. Pastor Heather is our Director of Administration and Worship. Well, you know, what can I say about Heather? It's rare, very rare, to find someone who shares such a heart of excellence for all things administration, but also has a creative bend in their calling, and especially when it comes to worship. And she does it all so very well. And more importantly, God has anointed Heather to do both of those things. She's a huge strength to our team and to our church. Heather, let me just say to you, your day-to-day involvement in my life and what God has called me to do has allowed me to focus on what God has called me to do here at the church, and I thank you for that. It's been a blessing to be a part of your growth as a pastor, and I'm very excited to see what's still to come for you. It's great, great days ahead. Thank you for helping to administratively store the resources that God has blessed us with here at Calvary, and for leading our church family in a lifestyle of worship is so very important. Her husband, Kurt, is a longstanding director on our church board, and Kurt helps also to oversee our facilities here at Calvary. And they, too, have become great friends of Susan and I, and so we love the Romans, and you're such a blessing to us. Now, let me talk about someone you don't see a lot. Pastor Maggie is our Mandarin campus pastor, and she had some pretty big shoes to fill after Pastor Mary retired, but I always encouraged her from day one not to be anyone other than herself and to be the pastor that God has called her to be. And Pastor Susan and I will be expressing our appreciation in person for her after this service in our Mandarin campus as well. But Maggie has truly come into her own here at Calvary and has already become an incredibly valuable member of our team. She's a gifted leader, a teacher, a pastor, and her deep love for God and his people is evident in everything she does. Maggie is awesome. She and her husband Joseph are a powerful ministry team who take the call of God on their lives very seriously. We want you to know that we love and appreciate you both very much. Now, beyond our pastoral team, our two ministry directors within our leadership core, who are gifted and called in their individual areas of ministry. Their leadership affects our kids and our students, and if you have kids and students, then you know how amazing they are. Tessa serves as our Calvary Kids Director, and Wyatt, the newest member of our leadership team, serves as our Student Ministry Director. Both are continuing their ongoing ministerial studies and leadership training as they prepare for their ministry credentials here as a part of our Calvary pastoral team. But both are a wonderful addition to our team, and we're excited for what's still to come in their lives and in the young lives that they influence and lead. So I want to express my appreciation to you, Tessa, and Wyatt, for leading this young generation of world changers. Calvary will always be in the corner of our next gen leaders, and we're excited to see what's happening. Now, today, before we jump into the message, I thought it would be very fitting to just take time. I'd like to bless and pray for all of our team. And so whether you're here in the house today or we're joining us online from wherever you're watching around the world, would you join me here in a prayer for our team? Father, we thank you. I thank you for my amazing team, for this team of pastors and ministry directors that are such a blessing to the church. Today, on this day, we honor those who lead us, and we are thankful for the influence they have on the lives of those within our church. Today, we honor specifically our pastoral team, but we also are believing for two younger leaders still on their way to developing as pastors someday, but we already see their heart for you, their heart for your people, and we're excited. We thank you for the unity, the friendship, for the vision and passion that we share as a team. And as a church today, we speak a blessing on every one of them, on their spouse, on their families, on everything they put their hand to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, now, with the remaining time that we have today, I'd like to continue with week 6 of our 7-week You Asked For It message series. Now, the content of this series is a compilation of the questions that all of you have asked over the past year. We kind of went back and talked about the questions that our team has been fielding. And so this week, we're gonna take a closer look at a significant topic that affects all of us, whether we know it or not. Sometimes we're unaware of it, but be sure that it is at work in and around us. Today, we're going to begin to answer the question, what is spiritual warfare? Now, this is a very prevalent theme throughout Scripture that kind of pulls back the curtain on an unseen battle between the kingdom of light, between God's kingdom, and the kingdom of darkness. Now, I've heard some great teaching on this over the years, and as I do my research and study, I kind of glean from all of these different leaders. But one message in particular from Chris Hodges was just so well done that I want to pass along some of that teaching to you today in my message. And so let's start with a verse that I think best describes what this spiritual warfare is all about. So if you have your Bible, turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. Now, obviously, if you're here in the house, you can see the scripture up on the big screen. If you're watching from home or anywhere else on the broadcast, you'll see it on the screen. But I want to encourage all of you. Would you bring your Bibles to church? Would you make a point, whether it's in printed form or digital form, I want us to be a church that is continually grounded in God's word. Not those of us that just hear or listen to God's word when it's preached or taught, but those of us in our church family. I want all of us to have deep roots when it comes to our scriptural worldview, our understanding of the Bible and its truth. Because the days that we're living in, especially as we talk about spiritual warfare, we're mindful of the fact that there's something beyond what we're seeing and hearing that's going on. And we need to be grounded in his word. We need to know the truth so that we can live it. Ephesians 6, 10 through 17 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God." So right out of the gate, this is telling Christians you need to suit up. You need to be battle ready for the life that you're living so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. In other words, you're going to be in a fight. It's going to happen. It's already happening. So you need to prepare yourself for it. It goes on to say, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood." So it's not people. It's not your spouse that you're warring against, or your neighbor, or your boss, or the government. But the Bible says it's against the rulers and the authorities. It's scripture referring here to some sort of authority structure. Against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, Christians, followers of Christ, all of you, therefore, it goes on to say, and this is something we need to tune into, put on the whole armor of God. So we need to prepare ourselves, and these are the tools he's given us to survive the battle and to have victory. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when, not if, scripture says, so that when the day of evil comes, because you're going to have some dark days. Now, that's not doom and gloom. That's just reality, that you're going to face some difficult times in your life. Rains on the just and the unjust. Just because you're a believer doesn't mean that you're going to walk out in a rainstorm and nothing's going to make you wet. Like, we live in a dark world, but we don't have to live according to it, and we don't need to be crushed by it. And so we can rise above it, but we need to understand how these tools work. So very, very important. And again, not trying to bring you down by saying that dark days will come, because some of us have already had them. And so I just want you to be prepared. That's why I'm saying, know your Bible, know the scripture, because you're going to need it to navigate these kind of days. Goes on to say, so that you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, what does it say again? Stand firm then. So after you've done all to stand, keep standing. And then it describes the armor of God. And this is a metaphor, it's a picture, it's not literal, but the scripture's telling us that we need to put some things on. We need to be intentional in our preparation for this warfare that we're involved in. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, when I read that, I get that picture that many of you have probably seen in these epic battles that we've seen in movies. Maybe it's the Lord of the Rings, you know, where there's these incredible battles. But there's always a scene, it seems, at night where the archers line up. It's like thousands of them. And they pull back that arrow and they light it on fire. And then they just send it out of the darkness, goes up into the sky. You can see this wave of fire coming. And then those fiery arrows begin to fall on the enemy. Out of the darkness, out of nowhere, it just creates havoc on the ground. And this is kind of the way the enemy works. He likes to blindside us with the things that he brings into our lives, be they temptation or just the lies he whispers in our ears. But it's like these flaming arrows coming down. We're like, what is going on right now? And it's like suddenly things get stirred up, and that same kind of havoc appears in our lives. It says, take the helmet of salvation, talking about understanding what Christ has done for us in our salvation, about the new mind of Christ that he's given us. But then listen to this. The next or the last piece of armor that's coming up is the only piece of the armor that is actually offensive. The rest of the pieces that we've gone over and just read about are defensive, the things that are in place to protect you. But this, the Bible says, is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So now you stand protected and battle-ready when it comes to winning the victories that come in your life when you face those battles. Now, there's another place that I want to take you to help continue to build context for spiritual warfare that I think many of you living in today's culture, and I referred to this earlier, I think when you watch the news, when you watch the wars around the world or the election cycles or the drama that seems to be stirred up in the media, I think you can sense that there's something different going on. Maybe we don't always understand it all, but we know that beyond what we see, beyond what we hear, that we sense something going on. That's the spiritual realm that we're sensing. If you're anywhere close to listening to God's voice or spending time in his word, you build a sensitivity to those things, and you can sense that there's something going on. And so this next scripture kind of ramps it up, and it introduces a term that I want to give you that both Jesus and the Apostle Paul referred to. Now, Paul calls it a stronghold. Jesus calls it a strong man. And Jesus' teaching of the strong man is found in Luke 11. But Paul says it this way. He's trying to help us to understand what spiritual warfare is all about. And interestingly enough, whether you believe in it or not, doesn't make it any less real. So you can be in denial. You can say, I don't know, man. Like, that just seems like you're reaching. Well, regardless of what your thought is on its reality, it's still happening all around you and influencing your life and affecting you in more ways than you realize. That's why Paul, that's why Jesus wants us to understand the essentials of what the answer to this question is when we ask, what is spiritual warfare? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 3 through 5, it says, for though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. So saying, you know, we're not dropping bombs, we're not firing missiles. I was on X the other day looking at some news on it used to be called Twitter, right? And I saw this clip that many of you have probably seen as well of this high-speed chase that ended up in a neighborhood. And it was a car that was chasing a Lamborghini. And this Lamborghini rolled up like at high speed right up to where this guy lived. You could see the other car pulling up behind them. And the door flies open. The guy didn't even take the time to close the door. He just ran out of the car and ran into the house. These guys that were chasing him probably wanted his car, probably could have hurt him or killed him. So he didn't know. He's trying to get away from it all. So you see the other car pull up behind them. Guys pile out of the car. They see the open door of the Lamborghini, and they start running towards the car, thinking, jackpot. We've got what we wanted. And then out of nowhere, this guy comes back out of his house, out of his garage, with an RPG on his shoulder. And he gets down on one knee, and these guys just do an about-face, run back to their car, and without even pulling the trigger, the chase is over. These guys evacuated very quickly when they saw what this guy's got, a rocket launcher in his hand. Not everybody. How many rocket launchers do you have in your garage? Hopefully you don't have any. So again, the spiritual war that we're in, we don't use RPGs. You know, it'd be nice to know that there was a simple kind of way to defeat the enemy, but an RPG is not one of them. This is the weapons that we fight with. That is, if you're fighting with them, and you need to understand that if you're in a spiritual warfare, you need to know how to fight so that you can win the battle. Some people don't even know about the reality of the fight, and so oftentimes they're struggling to survive. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons the world uses. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Now, Strongholds or strongholds are arguments that are raised up against the knowledge of God. These are thoughts, these are ideas, these are lies from the enemy that are designed to lead you away from Christ. So what do these weapons that God has given us when we wear the armor, what do they do? It says, well, you know, we demolish those arguments that he brings. We demolish those lies that he whispers in our ear. And every pretension, listen, the devil is a pretender. He's pretending to have power over you that he doesn't actually have. And he's trying to convince you that his arguments about you and your life are true. And then it says, so we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. I want you to understand, not just today, but every time we spend time in the Word, I want you to understand what God says about you. Not what your past says about you. Not what your mistakes have said about you, what your ex says about you, not what your friends that used to be your friends say about you. Because these things sometimes kind of begin to frame a negative picture of who we believe we are. You need to find yourself in God's Word. That's why I say it's so important to know His Word, to know that He loves you, that He's called you, that He's given you authority over these things that so easily influence so many people. And then it says that then we take captive every thought. In other words, you have to break those lies that contradict what the Word of God says about who you are. We have to take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. So those weapons are given to us, the armor, not only to defend us, but to go on the offense, to take back ground that the enemy has stole. Some of you has lost ground in your marriage. Some of you have lost ground in your family with your kids or your extended family. God wants you to take back the ground that sometimes the enemy has stolen. Let me give you a couple more definitions when it comes to stronghold. Stronghold is a prisoner locked up by deception, living a life by something that is not true. So don't live your life locked up by a lie. Some of you have had people, even people close to you, that have said things to you as far back as your childhood that have stuck with you, and you still believe some of those lies. Don't live your life locked up by those lies. Jesus gave his life so that you could be free from those lies. You need to know that. Here's another one. Stronghold is anything that exalts itself in our minds, pretending, that's the enemy, pretending to be bigger or more powerful than God. So it's anything that exalts itself in our minds to make us feel or to pretend that it's more powerful than God himself. Now, I think this is one of probably the best applications for spiritual warfare that doesn't look like the skewed pictures that we see in bad horror films where you need like a cross and some holy water to stop the evil, right? Matter of fact, your spiritual warfare could simply be coming to church on a Sunday morning and coming in maybe full of depression, dealing with deep anxiety. And we talked about this in week one. But as you start to sing, as you start to listen to the worship team and you start to praise God and you start to sing his word, then suddenly the grip of that depression, it begins to loosen and to let you go. And in that moment, you experience this release that comes with the Spirit of God stepping in to your warfare. And whether you know it or not, just in that process that takes place here every Sunday morning during praise and worship. But in those moments, people are experiencing, you are experiencing spiritual warfare. is so powerful. Psalm 149, verse 6 says, may the praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands. When you speak God's word, it's like that double-edged sword shooting from your face in the midst of difficult times. You see, when you lift him up, when you're feeling pushed down, we take those lies captive and we're freed to live the life that he intends for us. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the devil because he is a liar. He's a liar. Matter of fact, Jesus kind of made that point very clear. John 8, 44. He says, when he lies, he speaks his native language. It's the only language he knows. For he is a liar. He's the father of all lies. So you need to discern who's whispering into your spirit, into your ear. And dismiss those lies. Find yourself in God's word, knowing what God has said about you. Now, interestingly enough, when we believe a lie, we empower the liar. And we strengthen the stronghold that we're feeling trapped by. So how do we fight back? I mean, on a day-to-day. How do you fight back when you walk out of this church or when you turn off this broadcast? How do you fight back? Well, let me give you three weapons that you can use right now. The first one, the name of Jesus. All other names have to bow to that name. It's the power of the Word of God from cover to cover in one name, Jesus. There's been times in my life where I have felt fear all around me, where I felt like I'm in a difficult situation, and I don't even know how to pray. And sometimes the only word that I can push out of my mouth is the name of Jesus. But when I do, it's like the air, the environment around me, the spiritual vibe that I'm in the midst of, it shifts. It changes. Because Jesus' name breaks through all of that opposition. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 17 through 19, it says, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. I mean, these guys were excited. They had seen Jesus doing things and casting out demons and healing people. Now he sent them out. And now they were speaking in the name of Jesus with the authority that he had given them. And he saw these evil spirits responding to that authority. But Jesus, he said very quickly, he says, of course, I was there. Don't forget, I was there when Satan got kicked out of heaven. So I know whose authority is whose. It's not a close fight here, right? Sometimes people think it's kind of like a Super Smash duel between Jesus and the enemy, and depending on who's got the best move, like they're going to take him down. No, it wasn't close at all. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. So that's as fast as it was. There was no contest. There was no round for round, like a big champion fight. Mike Tyson fighting for his life. No, it wasn't a close call at all. It was over in a flash of lightning. And then it says, I have given you authority. And he has given that same authority to all of you too, to trample on snakes and scorpions, and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. When you feel that fear, speak that name and know that he's given you the authority to walk through that problem and not stay stalled out in the midst of it. Philippians 2, chapter 10 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. That means in hell. So even in hell, they tremble and shake at the name of Jesus. Number two, second weapon that we have that you can use today, because its power is at work in your life, if you know Christ, is the blood of Jesus. You see, the act of the cross was the ultimate defeat of the enemy. Revelation 12, verse 11 says, they overcame him, talking about the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, his precious blood, his life force shed for you and I. The blood of Jesus that was shed for you gives you the authority to stand and to continue to stand. and to defeat the enemy in your life. The third thing, one of the most powerful things, is the Word of God. The Word of God. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, two Gospels recorded it. Both Matthew 4 and Luke 4 describe this confrontation. And Jesus was tempted three times by the devil. And all three times he defeated the devil the same way every time, by quoting Scripture. Jesus used the Word of God to fight and defeat the enemy. Jesus is our ultimate example. And if Jesus was tested and pushed, you will be tested and pushed. But if you want to see how to fight back, how to gain victory, then we need to follow in his steps. Jesus used the Word of God to speak at every one of those moments. This is what Jesus said about the Word. John 8, 31 through 32, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching," talking about the Bible, "if you hold to the Bible, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth." You will know the Bible. "And the truth found in this book will set you free." Remember, we talked about this earlier. Your only offensive weapon that you have in your hand is Scripture. So you have to know your Bible. Bring it every time you come to church on Sunday. Make sure that it's a part of your life. Read it at home. Don't just read it here. Read it out there where you're living your life, listening. There's so many ways to take in Scripture nowadays. You got YouVersion on your phone or your tablet. You can click listen and listen to it. You can fall asleep listening to someone reading Scripture. You can get so many great study Bibles that are page-turning printed versions of the Bible that you can highlight and write in the margins and write down what the Lord is speaking through the Holy Spirit to you. Know your Bible. It's not just a decorative thing that sits on your shelf. And for many people, it still sits there, covered in dust. You know what? Today, go home, dust it off, open it up. Before you put your head on that pillow, read the power of Scripture. Jump into Psalms and Proverbs. Get into the Gospels. Read about Jesus and how he lived his life. It will change you. Don't just wait a whole week to hear the word read to you again by some preacher up in front of you. Listen, get into it yourself. If I could do anything in your life, is to encourage you to just immerse yourself in God's word so that you know it. Because even today, when I have things come against me, when I am tempted, I have verses that I still use, that I speak out loud, that I read. Before I preach, there's verses I go to that I read over and over again that are revelation to me and give me strength and victory in difficult times. So every day, every single day, we need to commit ourselves to God and close any open door in our life. Because listen, all it takes is a crack. The devil will go with it. You give him a crack and he'll just stick his toe in there and start to push it open slowly but surely. Maybe it won't be wide open at the beginning, but he can wait it out. It's subtle. He can push himself in. Don't give him an inch, because he'll take more than a mile. And you know what? Don't be afraid to confront the enemy when you get praying. I rebuke you in Jesus' name, Satan. If you're coming against me with thoughts, you rebuke him. Take authority. The authority that God has given you, the same authority that he gave to the disciples. James 4, verse 7 says, "Submit yourselves to God." It's important in the order of things to do before you resist the devil. Submit yourself to God first. Be under his command. Submit your mind, submit your body, submit your spirit. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will what? He will flee from you. He will take off running. God has given you these weapons to win, not to just survive. Listen, the devil's ultimate objective is to distract you from your purpose that God has created you for. He doesn't just want to take you out. He wants to stop the potential that God has placed within you. He wants to stop what your life could actually do. You see, spiritual warfare is simply exposing his lies and replacing them with truth, which is really the work of the local church. And that's what God wants to do in your life 2. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your word at work within our lives. I pray that we would recognize the warfare that we are in, that we expose those lies, that we replace them with truth, and that, Lord Jesus, we lead others in that same path. We pray today that we would lean on the word, that we would understand the value of the blood that was shed for us, and that we would stand in the power of your name, and we would conquer and be victorious in every part of our lives. And for those of us today that are searching spiritually, maybe confused and lost in warfare that we don't even know is happening, but we're feeling under it, we're feeling beaten up by it, I want to give you some good news today. Jesus has brought you here today to hear this message, to hear this challenge, and to give you the opportunity to say yes to following him. And if that's you today, it's as simple as saying, Lord Jesus, I thank you for willingly dying on a cross for me. Forgive me of my sin, come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior and help me to live for you and to proclaim that truth to the world. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. Listen, if that's you today, you're watching online, make sure you tell the host who's in the chat, and they'd love to pray with you as well. And we want to make sure that you get connected to the right resources, even within the church, to help you take those next steps, because those next steps are just as important as the prayer that you've prayed today. Some of it can be as simple as coming to church regularly. Some of it can be just, you know, committing yourself to a small group and taking a next steps class, serving, getting involved. That all of these things will help you develop as a disciple of Christ. God's best, Calvary. Have an amazing week. We'll see you again next.